We're in our second week of our missions convention, and you'll notice in your bulletin that there is a pledge card that's there. The way that we support our missionaries around the world is we depend upon your pledges. And, you know, if you're here this morning and you want to support missions, that's how we do it, is by you making a monthly pledge. Now, some people pay that pledge all at once. Some people pay it over a period of 12 months. Some people pay it quarterly. It really doesn't matter to us how you pay it. But we do need you to make that pledge because it is important to set our budget so that we can know how much is coming in for missions. We get requests all the time from missionaries for funds, and we don't really know what to tell them if you don't tell us what you're willing to give. And so it's important for us to know that. We appreciate very much. I appreciate it if you give and you say, I'm just going to give and not tell anybody. I understand that sentiment, but it doesn't help us plan. And so for us to plan effectively, we need to know what we can depend upon each month. So if you would make a pledge, we would appreciate that. Next week, as you'll have two more opportunities to give, one at the banquet and one at our final Commissions Convention service. But we want you to be part of that. You know, we don't have any big hitters in our church as far as missions. You know, we don't have any one person that really gives a ton of money to missions and supports it. How it's done in this church is everybody doing their part. No matter how great or how small it is, it all counts, it all matters, and we need your cooperation in that. So if you would like to do that, you can. You can just hand it to any of the staff members after the service if you want to, and we'll make sure that that gets counted. I want to talk to you this morning, kind of a little different sermon. I don't know if I've ever done this before, but we're going to talk about hearing the call of God upon your life. You know, the way that the Assemblies of God raises missionaries up is depending upon the call of God to speak to people and to have them hear His voice and call them into the ministry. One of the things that we depend upon are people listening for the voice of God. When we say the call, that may confuse you a little bit, but it is simply that inward knowledge, that knowing in your heart that God is calling you to a specialized ministry among a special people's group or a group of people or something like that. That's what we call the call of missions. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I'm believing that God is putting His hand on some people right here at North Point. And when I came here more than 20 years ago, one of the things that I told God that I wanted. It's okay to tell God that. Just be willing to kind of be flexible with it, you know, in case He doesn't want that. But one of the things that I told God that I wanted this church to be is a sending church. In other words, I wanted this church to raise up pastors and missionaries that go out into the field. And it's been in the last probably 7 or 8 years that we've seen that come to pass. Right now, I believe we have 6 staff members that are either staff members here at the church or what we call volunteer pastors that are kind of learning how to pastor, kind of discerning God's voice, learning some of the skills and the abilities that they will need to do ministry. And we're intending to send those people out to pastor a church somewhere, somehow. We've raised up 3 or 4 missionaries in this church. Lola Geary has gone to Moldova. She's called to missions. Pam Austin has gone to Healthcare Ministries in Springfield and is now wondering where her next assignment is going to be and asked us to pray with her about that, about where she's going to go next and what she's going to do and what God has for her. George and Elaine are kind of missionaries at large with Wycliffe, and they go a couple times a year on missions trips for them and do work for them. And, you know, and Heather Hansen is our GVSU Chi Alpha director, missions on campus. And I'm proud, I'm pleased that this church is sending out missionaries and training pastors for the ministry. But I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy yet. I want more. I want to see more go out because, you know, it's one thing for us to affect the community right here where we are. But when we send out ministers and missionaries, we are multiplying the effect of the ministry here at North Point. You know, the early church was a sending church. It sent out missionaries and pastors and workers out into the field so that the kingdom of God could expand and grow. That's what I want to talk about this morning. If you notice Mark 8:34, I don't have a slide for this, but Mark 8:34 says this. Jesus is speaking to His disciples and He says, "If anyone wants to be My follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow Me." That verse is the cornerstone of what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ, is a life of sacrifice. It's not a life of acquisition. It's a life of sacrifice. It's giving up yourself. It's giving up your dreams, your desires, your aspirations for the things that God wants you to do. It's laying yourself on the altar, like Romans chapter 12 says, that we lay ourselves a living sacrifice on the altar that God may use us in whatever way He wants. And this morning, I want to ask you to do something before we even start. I want you just to open up your heart to the possibility that God might be calling you. That God may have a future for you, no matter your age, no matter your situation, no matter what circumstances surround your life. I just want you to open up your heart to the possibility that God is calling you to the mission field. Because that's how it works. That's how it happens. And we're going to look at that call, and we're going to look at it. Three people that were called, and they were called in different ways. They were called from different circumstances and different situations. And the first one that I want to look at is the resistor, the one that's resistant to the call, the one that says, not me, I can't do that. I've got my life on track. I don't want to go there. You know, God, you can't call me. I'm not qualified. Whatever your excuse is, you're a resistor this morning. That's probably typified best of all by the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. You remember Jonah. Jonah was minding his own business, and the message of the Lord came to him. It says in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of his father. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. And he bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, you probably have heard the story a million times, but Jonah is told to go to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a rotten, stinking, dirty place. It was full of corruption. It was full of evil. They were mean to everybody. They murdered people. They killed people that were people of faith. And they just were not nice. They oppressed the Jewish people. The king of Nineveh kind of started the first execution by the cross, only he did it a little bit differently. They would execute people in Nineveh by taking a sharpened log, inserting it at the base of the spine, pushing it through until it came out at the base of their skull, and they would hang them out to die. They made the Romans look like Sunday school teachers in some ways. And these were the people that God is calling Jonah to go and evangelize. And you can imagine Jonah's response. I think I could be Jonah very easily. I think my response would be, God, you're making a mistake here. I hate those people. They're evil. They're wicked. They're mean-spirited. And God's answer was, I know. Go anyway. And Jonah decides he's not going to go. He can't go. He won't go. And so he decides to run away from God. Now, you think about that, that's kind of funny. Because we're looking at it from a few thousand years perspective. Run away from God, how can you do that? And yet, don't we do that all the time? Don't we think that God isn't looking, that we can do things and God won't know about it, or that it's a secret? That's the same as running away from God. And yet God knows everything, God sees everything, and still He calls us. There, maybe you're a resistor this morning. Maybe God has placed His hand on your heart, maybe a long, long time ago. Maybe you're an older person now, and when you were a child, when you were a young person, God put His finger on your heart and He said, I'm calling you to be a minister. I'm calling you to be a missionary. And as you grew up, the attractiveness of life and riches and wealth and all of that kind of stuff kind of got a hold of you. Now maybe you're at the age where you have children and a family and you think, God, I got to take care of my family. I can't be a missionary. Or maybe you're retired and you think, I don't have the strength anymore to do that, God. I don't have the ability. Or maybe you're poor. And you think, I can't afford to do that. Or maybe you just don't want to. Because you don't want to leave the comforts of home. You don't want to leave the comforts of your life. Maybe you don't like a certain group of people. Be very careful about that. Be careful who you hate. Because God just might call you to evangelize those people. And it leads to all kinds of difficulties and problems and quandaries that you have to take care of in your life. But maybe you're a resistor this morning. You know, there's a missionary, David Spears, a missionary to Mexico that we support. By the way, when I knew I was going to put this together, I wrote all of our missionaries kind of a mass email, and I said, tell me about your call. I'm doing a series on the call. Tell me about your call so that I can apply this to everyday life to our people. I got dozens of responses, and I'm thinking about putting them in a little booklet so that you can take that home and read about how these missionaries responded to the call. But David Spears wrote a rather long story, and he grew up in a pastor's home, and his dad had pastored a couple of churches that were difficult for him to pastor. People opposed him. He had a rough time. They tried to drive him out of the church, all of that kind of stuff. And David writes, this attack on my dad made me reevaluate whether I wanted to even be in ministry. I never told my mom and dad about the call on my life, but I kept it to myself. I decided I didn't want to do anything with the ministry and decided to become a research chemist. My plan was to make a lot of money, maybe teach Sunday school or something like that. I followed my plan until my father died within 6 weeks of being diagnosed with stage 4 skin cancer at the age of 44. I was completely devastated. Up until about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning before he died, I kept believing that God was going to heal him. Then, to make matters worse, we had people calling the house to encourage us and tell us that my dad died because we didn't have enough faith. And another said that there must have been some sin in his life. The knockout punch came when my mom died 6 weeks after my dad died from bone cancer at the age of 42. I was 21 years old. I had been married less than a year to my wife, Kristen, and was now responsible for everything. My brother, who was 14, two rental properties, and an $1,100 mortgage that I couldn't pay. The pressure was crushing. I remember being on my way to work at the lab one morning, just screaming at God from the top of my lungs and bawling my eyes out. I remember screaming, I don't even know if there is a God anymore. And then everything was dead silent in the car. When I calmed down a little, I remember muttering, okay, that's all that I know that is true. I know you exist because I've experienced you. Then I just poured out my heart to God, told him how sick I was of my life the way it was, how I really hated being a chemist, and that I was really wanted to live his plan for my life. A few days later, I felt the Lord speaking to my heart again that his plan still included me being in ministry. My wife, Kristen, had been telling me that we should just move away from Michigan to another state over and over, even suggesting that we move to Springfield, Missouri, because I liked living there and was attending Evangel College. David goes on to tell his story, and he enrolled in CBC, the School of Champion Ministers, by the way. I don't know if you know that. And the first semester went by quickly as he tried to adjust, but the second semester, he was in a class with Dr. Harold Carpenter, who's a great missionary, a great man of God. And he went to a service, one of the chapel services. By the way, at CBC, we had chapel every day because we're just that good. Maybe we needed it, I don't know. He went to Dr. Harold Carpenter's class, and Harold Carpenter had taken a trip to Mexico City that day, or that semester before, and he began talking about Mexico City, and David says, I lost it. I was crying. I was totally embarrassed, trying to stop, but I couldn't. I had no idea what was going on. I just knew I couldn't quit. Every time he would mention Mexico City or talk about that trip over the next few weeks, the same thing would happen. He said, I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer, but I knew that God was doing something in me. I remember praying to myself one of those times, God, if you call me, I have to hear from you. 6 weeks later, God spoke to my heart and said, David, I want you to be a missionary to Mexico City. He went home to his wife and she said, I knew it. He said, how could you know it? She said, from the moment we met, God told me that I was going to be married to a missionary. David says in his letter that he never told his wife about the call in his wife, the call in his life, never ever told her anything about it. She just knew the Holy Spirit had confirmed it in her heart. You know, can I encourage you this morning? Don't resist God. You might as well cave in and give in because you're going to anyway. If you don't, your life is going to be pretty miserable from then on. God has a plan for your life, and it's a great plan. David Spear is a great missionary. He was in Mexico City for, I think, 12 years, and now he's working with Builders International, building churches and church buildings and stuff around the world. But he's fulfilling that call that God had on his life. But first, God had to break through that resistance. And he wants to break through the resistance that's in your heart also. There's a second kind of person, and that's the out-of-the-blue call. That's the person who's just kind of going around their life, just doing what they thought was right. They had no intention of being a missionary or entertaining that call of God in their life at all. That's Saul, later to be called Paul, the greatest missionary the world has ever known. But Saul was doing what he thought he was called to do. He was reaching out to people, to the Jewish people, and he thought that by destroying the church of Jesus Christ, that he was doing a favor for everybody that he was trying to destroy the church for. And then it happened. In Acts chapter 9, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers, so he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do.' The men with Saul stood speechless, for they had heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. And Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink." This is the story of Saul's conversion. He was just going about his business. He thought he was serving God, but God had something even greater than his misguided attempts to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. He was just minding his own business when God suddenly appeared to him. Jesus Christ came to him and said, "I've got a task for you, Saul. I have a plan for your life, and it involves being a missionary." Now, we leave Saul blind in Damascus, but God sends him to another man's house, and he lays his hands on him, and scales falls from his eyes. He can see again, and he goes on, and he becomes schooled in the doctrines of the Christian church, and he becomes the greatest missionary that the world has ever known. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're just going around minding your own business, but God has a great plan for you. Maybe you've always kind of suspected it. Maybe you've tried to assuage God's plan from something greater by settling for something that's a little more convenient, something that's a little more easy for you to do. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're working here at the church. Maybe you're doing your thing here, and you think, "That's it. That's okay. That's what God has for me." I want you to know you can be minding your own business, think you're doing well, and suddenly out of the blue, God comes and lays his hand on you and says, "I have a job for you." Josh Payne is a missionary to Russia that we support. He was single until about a year ago. Now he's married to a beautiful young lady. But he was called to the ministry when he was 17. But he didn't have missions in mind. He was going to pastor. He was going to do his thing. He says, "After Bible school, I met a world missionary couple a couple of times, and they told me to pray for them because they were looking for someone to go to Russia with them. Then they invited him to go, and he thought, 'Well, that's not really in my playbook right now.' But the week that they called him, he decided that he was going to take some extra time and do some fasting and prayer to try to get God's mind on that. And then suddenly he just knew that that was God's will for his life. And so he called them back and he said, 'Yes, I'll go.' Later, after they had been itinerating a few months, the whole time while they were in the States, this missionary couple had been asking God to give him somebody to help them in Russia. They knew that their assignment was going to be difficult and they would need more help. And so they were praying and asking God. Almost the last church that they went to, Josh was in that church. He was sitting on the front row. And the missionary told Josh, "When I got up to speak, God said, 'That young man in the front row is the one that's to go with you.'" God worked on his heart, he worked on their heart, and Josh went to Russia for a 2-year assignment. After that, he began praying about where God would have him go, and now God is calling him to full-time missions ministry. And he's been doing that for several years now. You see, he wasn't resisting. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't doing anything bad. He was following God's plan for his life. But he found out what God's plan was at that moment. Out of the blue, God came and told him, "You're going to be a missionary in Russia for me." Maybe you're here this morning and you're minding your own business, being good, following God, doing all the things that God told you to do, but something this morning may spark in your heart that God says, "This is for you. You're not bad, you're not messing up, you're not resisting,
But God has a better plan for you now. God has a higher calling for you now. And He's saying, I want you to submit to that. I want you to give that up for Me. Many of you know Marty and Brenda Roman. They're good friends of ours. They're pastor or they're missionaries in Benin, West Africa. Sandy has gone to work with them a couple of times and still does. But they wrote and they said, Marty was 4 years old in Coleman Assembly of God Church. A missionary from Africa came to their church and showed them a film about Africa called The Dark Continent. That was in the era of slides and films. Anybody remember that? Yeah, every missionary carried a slideshow with them, you know, chunk, 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 chunk. And you saw color pictures up there. It was really cool. At that moment, with visions of snakes and Tarzan in his young mind, God spoke to Marty and said, Martin, I want you to be a missionary in Africa. Brenda was in Wisconsin, AG, all-girls summer camp. It was a regular Wednesday evening service. There was nothing special really going on. She went to the altar intending to pray for about 10 minutes before heading to the refreshment stand to get her nightly ice cream. God spoke to her and He said, Brenda, I want you to be a missionary in Africa. And she said, okay. Prayed another 5 minutes and then went and got her ice cream. But those two elements were branded into their mind. And Brenda writes this. She said, neither one of us had dramatic moving calls. Maybe because we're matter-of-fact people. But it was real and we knew it. And then she adds this. I'll add that the saddest people we talk to while traveling stateside are people who have had the same call and because of choices they made did not do what they were called to do. You know, God can speak to you in a very matter-of-fact way, just in a way that you know that you know that you know that this is what He's calling you to. Maybe this morning you're here and you're just minding your own business, doing your own thing, living a life for God, doing well, but God is tapping you on the shoulder this morning and He's saying, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to missions. I'm calling you to that calling. Then there's finally, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. There's the ready and the willing. This is Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it was kind of a turning point in history. King Uzziah had been the king of Israel for decades. It had brought stability and everything that they needed. They become very wealthy under King Uzziah, and then he died. And everything was in flux. They didn't have a democratic form of government like we have, where you just either the vice president becomes president, or you hold an election, and things just keep going on. This was a time of crisis. Would there be a coup? Would there be a foreign power that would come and take over? Everybody was on edge, and here's the vision that Isaiah had. It says, it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. And with two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they were calling out to each other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar and a pair of tongs, and he touched my lips with it. He said, See, this coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is removed, and your sins are forgiven. Now that's the setting for the kind of the payoff verse. Because a little bit later on, there's a voice from the throne, and it says, Who will go? Who will go for us and tell that I love them? Tell the nation that I am with them. And Isaiah jumps up, and he says, I'll go. Send me. He responds readily and willingly to the message of redemption that God wants him to say to others. You know, God is always calling those that are ready and willing. And maybe you're here this morning and God, you're just saying, God, call me. I'm willing to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. It's a great story to be able to tell people that you are able to go when God calls you. Steve Pennington is one of our veteran missionaries in Africa. He served for several years in Ethiopia and then he went down to Kenya. He's in Kenya right now. But he writes this, through a freak fire that devastated our family business, my mom and stepdad moved to Somalia in the late 1970s. I visited them in 1981 in Somalia and remember praying on the flight back, Jesus, I will do whatever you want me to do with my life, but please, please, please don't ever call me to Africa. I didn't really come from a church that preached missions much, even though it was AG. But I heard it again and again in Bible college. I didn't have a lightning strike moment or a vision, just a constant niggling that refused to go away. I couldn't get the lost of Africa, or Somalia in particular, out of my mind and my heart. I remember when we had to declare our major at Bible college, I had no idea what to put down. I only knew that Jesus had told me to go there to be discipled, and I had no idea what His plan for my life was. I knew I wanted to make lots of money, marry a smoking hot woman. That's what he said. I don't know. Have a fast car, a big house, and two beautiful kids. Ah, suburbia. But I haven't made lots of money. I did marry a beautiful wife, and we have three kids. God is good. David Grant came to our school and preached on the need in India, and I was struck. God was calling me to give my life to the nations. I didn't really feel a call to India, but when the altar call was made, I stood with two others in a crowd of 1,500 people, committing myself to missions. From that moment, it took nearly 10 years of growth, ministry, and preparation before we landed officially in Kenya to start our missions life. We've served in East Africa for 20 years now. All our kids have grown up here, and our youngest, Micah, was born here. You know, there's a great thing that God can do with people whose hearts are willing. I want to read one more from Elliot Geib, a new missionary in Egypt. Elliot was here just a few months back. But he said, my wife and I growing up had a heart for people different from us and a desire to go overseas. When we were both younger, maybe it was more a sense of adventure. But over the years, through good teaching, good counselor, and wise mentors, we became aware that this sense of adventure was for God and His glory and less about us and our pleasure. He took this infantile desire and shaped it into something He could use. It was December of 2009 that Allison, at that time we were just dating, and I were attending separate conferences with our respective campus ministries, me with Chi Alpha and her with InterVarsity, that we heard the call. Before these months, we talked briefly about going overseas to the Mideast, but nothing concrete and much of our future was still up in the air. We both knew Eastern Michigan wasn't the landing pad, but the launching pad for our lives, and we desired to do work where there wasn't work being done. The Mideast stood out at us like a sore thumb. At our respective conferences, the Lord made it clear that He was giving us the green light. Our experiences, though, were different. I was looking for a burning bush, and the Lord simply asked me, where do you want to go? I replied, the Middle East. He said, okay. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Seriously, I had permission to go? In my spirit, I knew it was right to go, and it was time. Allison was at Urbana, and she went to all of the breakout sessions on Islam. She made a decision in her heart that this is where she wanted to give her time, her effort, and her energy towards. The Lord made it clear to her that this was the path that she was to take, and she committed to going overseas. I want to say something that during these conferences, neither of us knew what the other was thinking about and praying about. We met up after the conferences and discussed the decisions we had made. She asked me, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? I said, I'm going overseas to the Mideast, with or without you. She replied like clockwork, good, I was going to break up with you if you didn't tell me that. Why? I insisted. She explained to me that the commitment she had made at Urbana to go among Muslim people. Needless to say, we got engaged just a few months later. You know, maybe you're here this morning and God is speaking to your heart. I want you to know that you should respond to that call. As a matter of fact, you must respond to that call. It is the highest thing that you will ever do with your life is to respond to the call of God. Now, I realize we're not going to get, 150 hands, however many people are here this morning, to raise their hand because God doesn't call everybody to go overseas, but He calls some. And maybe you're some of those some this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, and here's some steps I want you to take in response to the call of God. First of all, respond to the call. Admit that it's there. Go ahead and say, God, I believe that you're calling me. You might not know where, you might not know when, you might not know how, but first step is to respond to the call. God, I give my life to you, and you can use it any way that you want to. Respond to the call. Secondly, get involved. in just a few moments, I'm going to give you some steps that you can take to get involved in missions. You can get involved right here at the church, or you can get involved on a national level, or, you know, whatever you want to do. But begin to get involved in missions. We have a need here for people. We've got some people that are already housing missionaries, but if you want to be involved in entertaining missionaries when they come here, helping them as they set up and all of that kind of stuff, so you can get your hands on some missionaries, so to speak, and talk to them and get in their face a little bit and ask them what they're doing and how it happens and how their call came and all of that kind of stuff, you can do that. And then thirdly, if you're not sure, get advice. Talk to godly people. Talk to people that you trust. Talk to one of the pastors here. I believe God is calling me. What do you see? What do you think? What do you believe about that? We'll be honest with you. We'll tell you what we believe about it. Because if God isn't calling you, we want you to know that too. If you got some seasoning to do, we want you to know that too. If you got some growing to do, we want you to know that too. There isn't anything more disastrous than to put somebody on the mission field that's not ready for it yet. But we're going to commit to step up with you and take you through that process and see you through it so you can respond to that call. You know, Steve Jobs was looking for somebody to take over Apple, become the second in command at Apple one time. And he went to John Sculley, the CEO of PepsiCo. He went right to the top. PepsiCo is one of the biggest companies in the world, one of the most successful companies in the world. Not only do they sell Pepsi, but they own Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell and, you know, all kinds of those fast food places. Very successful. And John Sculley was just kind of riding the wave. And Steve Jobs looked at him, and his pitch was, the thing that got John Sculley to move from PepsiCo to Apple was this question. Steve Jobs looked him in the eye, and he said, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to come with me and change the world? And I want to ask that question of you here this morning. Are you satisfied to live your life in a normal way right now and just get through it, or do you want to change the world? Because missionaries change the world. It is a high calling. It's a tough calling. It's not easy. It's rough. You're not going to have a cakewalk through it. You're going to find opposition. You're going to find difficulty. But really, isn't that what life is about? Overcoming? Overcoming all of the obstacles that are ahead of you? And you have the power of Jesus Christ and the call of God behind you to do all that? Don't you want to do something greater with your life? If God is calling you, I urge you, respond to that this morning. I want you to close your eyes right now and just kind of hear God's voice right at this moment. If God is speaking to your heart about going to missions, and frankly, you know, I just...